I just have a thought tonight about diligence that kept coming to my mind, and I just have a few thoughts to share on that. So the definition of diligence is careful, persistent work or effort. Steady, earnest, energetic effort was also another definition of it that was also listed. How is a person diligent? So there's diligence, kind of forms the word here. Constant effort to accomplish something, attentive and persistent. So obviously you can kind of see where we're going with this. So to be diligent, it's not just, you know, today and maybe Friday, and it's constant. The effort to do one's part while keeping the faith and reliance on God is diligence in Christianity. So how do you become diligent? Well, you have to have a burning desire to achieve a goal. So when I was doing a lot of research on this, a lot of the stuff that was coming up was business. Businesses, people's business plans, business goals that they were talking about diligence in. So they set their business goal, and then from there, they kind of webbed out into how to break it down from that. So in anything, you can apply this to Christianity, you can apply this to personal goals, Christian goals, business goals, however, you have to have obviously a goal to have something to achieve, to work towards. Then gain clarity on your purpose. So what am I trying to achieve here, right? So if I think a lot about race, running, which I never ever was good at. My dad was very, my biological father passed away when I was 7, but he was very adamant that when we did the Junior Olympics, we pick a running race. We had to have one running event, and I despised running even then. And I was very little and thin and fit and hated it. So I always picked the shortest one, and I was always last still. So it was fun. Great morale booster. But I always think about a race. So people that want to win are diligent in their training, right? They are going to day in and day out. You're going to see them at the track. You're going to see them, you know, setting goals. Like, okay, today I did it in this. Let's see where I can maybe shave off some time. And you're going to see them, if you know people that are athletic or doing things like that, they're going to set goals for themselves to try to achieve, to become better, to win. And so our goal is obviously heaven. So we do have a goal to win. So we have a purpose and we have a goal, and then commit to what you do. And so if everybody comes up to the track to run a race and you all start at the same spot and the starting gun goes off, everybody starts the same. But then it's the people that get really committed, right, and driven that make it, and the others that are just like, hi mom, you know, right? Don't really care if they win. They're obviously not gonna win the first, second, third, fourth, fifth place. So commit to what you do. And when you commit, you usually, when someone, like, you commit to a project or you commit to something that you really want to do, you give it your all. You don't just say, yeah, I'll help some if you need, especially if you have a project at school. That drove me insane. They put us in group projects and you'd have one person, always one person, right, that was not committed. And you're like, get in or get out. We're all getting the same grade. What in the world? I'm not carrying your load, right? Commit to the project. Don't just bring pieces here and there. Let's meet. Let's get this all hammered out, what our goal is, what we're going to accomplish. And then don't overburden yourself with work. When you get too many things going and you're like, yes, 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 you can't be 100% for everything, because we're not superheroes and we don't have superpowers. And then adopt a thorough approach. So like, okay, I'm gonna do this, but to do this, to make it work, you know, we don't want to just be like, well, let's just try it. Let's just try running in our bare feet on the track and see if we win. I mean, that's, you know, obviously we're like, no, let's research a really good running shoe, right? Let's research some like wind resistant clothes that's going to help us, you know, not drag us down. So you're going to thoroughly adopt some research to do a thorough approach. And then you're going to surround yourself with task-oriented people. Kind of the same thing I just talked about, like in your study groups or your project groups. You never wanted to get assigned the kid that was, you know, chewing on his pencil, and if he had a pencil, right? You're like, don't put them in our group. You wanted people that were like driven and wanted to accomplish and wanted to have an A, and you're like, yes, 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 because we're going to get this. We're going to get it done. So Proverbs 13:4. I wrote one down and I put one on my phone. I don't want to show it here. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So what we're talking about here, I think I did the children's version as well, is you're talking about, you know, like the lazy person, the soul of the sluggard, pretty much a lazy person. They can desire. I mean, I can desire to be first place in the Olympics. And it won't happen. I'm not an Olympian, right? But the lazy person, they can desire, but they're not going to get what they want. But it's the hard workers, right, that get it. And so a lot of times you see that with people, like, oh, they got such an amazing job. I can't believe they bought a brand new car. Look at their house. And you become jealous. Well, it might be because they're hardworking and they put some goals in, and maybe they didn't go out to eat every single day, and maybe they started saving money. And so they were diligent in setting that goal that they wanted to achieve, and that's what they wanted. And maybe us, on the other hand, is being a little lazy, and we're, you know, well, maybe I'll save $5 this month, but I really wanted to go do this, this, and this, and this. And then we're jealous because we don't have the same. Well, we're not diligently working as much as they are towards their goal. So I thought about, if I had two jars of candy up here with like a small mouth that was obviously smaller than your hand, and it was like some really good candy that you would want, and how hard would you work without smashing the jar? How hard would you work to try to get that candy out? You know, if I put like, you know, some spinach down in there, most of you like, yeah, okay, pass, right? We're not really interested. But if I put some really like something interesting, or a $20 bill even in there, some of you would probably try to get like really cranking your brain, right? How can we get that out there? Who's got something long and thin that we can try to fish it out? Or you'd start getting creative and really work to try to get that out. So the whole reason kind of why this thought came about is I have these lilies at home. They're red day lilies, and they're beautiful when they bloom. And I have a whole bunch of orange ones that are multiplying like no tomorrow, that aren't as pretty, of course. Well, the red ones are very small, and you only get a couple blooms out of them. And the deer love them. Love them. So the minute they start to open, the deer eat them. I barely get to see them bloom every single year. And it really just makes me irritated to no end. I would take them hunting sometimes because they irritate me. And I'm like, Chris, they're getting ready to bloom. What are we going to do? And we have deer spray that works really well when we put it on. And so this year, I told him and he did it, became diligent about, okay, they're getting ready to bloom. There's a bunch of buds. Spray them because the deer's going to get them. And so we would. And then, oh, it rained. Probably washed the stuff off. Spray them, right? They're getting ready. There's more buds. There's more blooms. And this year, we was able to enjoy them, I think, the whole entire season. I think they left them alone completely, which has never happened. Usually, I'm like, well, that was beautiful that we never got to see it bloom because they ate them. And so I thought the difference in being very conscious, almost intentional, as I love that word that was kind of associated with it, intentional, like, okay, I have to go out there. I know it's raining, or I know it's not, I have other things I want to do, but, you know, he would come in sometimes, and it would be getting dark, and he's like, I have to go spray them tonight, because it took, sometimes we would just be like, okay, they've left them alone for a couple weeks, it's going to be fine, and the next morning, they were all gone, just mowed down, and you're like, if I would have just sprayed them last night, instead of being lazy. So we had to be almost intentional. It's dark. I got things to do. I've got to go out and spray it so they'll leave them alone. And this was the year that we actually was able to enjoy them. And so it kind of made me thinking about spiritually, you know, to me, a deer are a pest because they just ruin my landscaping every year. And so they're a pest to me. And so I think of like spiritually, we have pests, right, that come and try to rob our joy. And the joy of the flowers was, you know, we planted them and we've weeded them and we wanted to enjoy the beauty of them. That would be the joy of them. And so I think about like in our Christianity, how we have joy, and there'll be pests that come along that want to rob you of your joy. And you have to be constant intentional. You have to be intentional to stay ahead of it, to kind of keep that, I think ours is called deer off, spray on, to keep that protection on. And so I kind of think of camp meeting as a spraying time, right? We have all these ministers here, and you're getting lessons after lessons and messages, and you're kind of getting sprayed a protection on from the world. And it's very easy when everything's going on and you're in church all the time to stay protected, right? But then it never fails. Usually the week right after camp meeting, there's some pretty rough days, right? Things go wrong and things go awry and your temper gets tested. And that's when it seems to be when we need to have that defense in, for sure. And You know, I thought about how sometimes the deer would come unaware. Like, we would think, oh, they've left it alone, and then unaware they would come. And just the same way as we come out of camp meeting. And I know it seems like we just came out of camp meeting. We're going to go into another one. But if we come out of camp meeting and we're like, the devil's going to leave me alone for a while, right? Wrong. And so he will lull you into a sense that you're going to be okay. You're going to be protected. You just came out of camp meeting. You're strong. You got this. And then that first storm, you're like, whew, what happened, right? And then I thought about the aggravation of the deer. And then sometimes a lot of times the aggravation of myself, because we just didn't get it protected. We could have done it. We could have prevented it. And just aggravation all around that we just really didn't know it had to happen because I procrastinated or he procrastinated or we had good intentions, but it didn't happen. And so the same, I think, in our spiritual man. You know, we can procrastinate putting off things that we know is going to be good for us. We can procrastinate putting off maybe going to youth meetings or, well, you know, I went Monday and Tuesday. Maybe if I hit again Friday, it'll be good. And so we kind of maybe try to skim around it. And then you're going to be aggravated at yourself because you're going to start getting weakened and you're going to get attacked by the devil. And so the words that stuck out to me that was the intentional, the persistent, earnest, and careful. So I thought, you know, if you're diligent, you're not just like, well, I'm going to do this task, right? You're persistent. And, you know, usually if you've met persistent people, you know what we're talking about. There are some persistent people I have met, and they won't leave one subject alone. And you're like, okay, we'll address it. What's going on? You know, they just won't. It's just, you know, my son can be persistent, right? About having a dart gun. And I'm like, the answer's still no, right? And he persistently makes every opportunity that we're going to get one. That's not going to happen. So I think about persistent, intentional. And so in anything you want to grow and you're wanting to see, like, fruits of your labor, so to speak. So, like, I'm not a gardener, but I have, my mom did gardening, so I'm aware of it. I do, like, flower beds, and then we've had fruit trees. Oh, my mom had fruit trees as well. But anything like that you're wanting to do, you have to be intentional. You can't just be like, well, here's some corn, and here's some bean seeds, and we'll just hope everything grows up. Fine. It's going to work out just great. And you can't just, especially with fruit trees, they are, until they get big and strong, they're very touchy. And you have to, like, you know, protect them from the deer. And then you have to, like, kind of strap them up so that they grow straight, because they want to, they're kind of fragile and thin, and they want to lean, especially if they start getting fruit. And so you have to have a goal. Okay, what is my goal in this garden? What do I even want? You know, you have to have a goal to achieve it, to complete it, to expect results. You don't just go out there and be like, well, in this row I'm going to have, did you plant it? Did you ever? No, I didn't water it this week. So lots of things can happen with that. If you don't water things, the sun burns them. We found that out on some things too. Like, we went on vacation and we thought, that'll be okay, it'll rain somewhere in the week, and it didn't at all, and we come home and everything's dead. So you're like, oh, whoops, right? Same thing with your garden. So if you don't water it, the sun will kill it. If you don't put certain things on your garden or your flowers or your fruit trees, these wonderful little bugs like to strip all the leaves off and kill it that way. Or the fruit, they like to eat the fruit. If you don't protect the tree, the deer like to rub against them or push them over. And then you don't just say, well, I'll take care of it and I'll take weed killer and I'll just spray it all, because then you'll kill your garden or poison yourself, one of the two. So you can't just willy-nilly it, right? You got to be intentional on how you're planning to have fruit, or you're planning to have vegetables, or you're planning to have some kind of progress from what you're doing. So the same it is with, like, camp meetings and revivals, and, you know, we're soaking up all that protection. And then it's after, when you get tested and those problems arise, you got to keep spraying on the protection, right? So it's easy when Brother Decker's preaching it across the pulpit to you, but when you have to go get your Bible out, you have to say, okay, God, I need this today for me, and you kind of have to put the effort and the diligence and be intentional about trying to find it instead of just kind of being spoon-fed, right? My kids get lazy sometimes, and they're like, can you just feed me? And sometimes I feel like that's how we are spiritually. We come to church, can you just feed me, right? So much easier than me having to look it up. Just feed it to me. And so it becomes more of a struggle. And so sadly, I think because of that, like, at camp meeting, we see a lot of people move and get help, and it's wonderful and it's exciting. But then after camp meeting, we don't see them as much, and they're not coming along like we want them to. They're not coming to youth meeting. They're not coming to prayer service. We're not seeing them participate in things, and they start struggling because it was easy accessible, and it was easy to keep it when they didn't have to work for it. But with anything that I'm sure that you found in life, the harder you have to work for something, the more valuable it is, right? We were actually just talking about this when we went on vacation. We went to the Nike store, and I was teasing with my brother. We bought a pair of shoes for Braxton, and we sent it to Nick, and I said, well, you had something similar to this. He goes, yeah, right. You know, they were name brand. Mom didn't buy name brand. We got lookalikes. And I said, no, I was pretty sure that if you put money towards, you know, Mom said so much you could buy your own. He said, yeah, when I got my own money, then I bought my own. And then he appreciated them so much more and wore them out. But, you know, we kind of teased about it when he didn't have to work for them. He didn't take as good care of them, but he also didn't get the name brand ones either, so I don't think he cared. So, and I think about also habits of life. And so we all have habits of life. Hopefully we have good ones, like, you know, we brush our teeth and we take a shower and we clean our clothes and we bathe. There's a really basic habits I really hope all of you are into. That's really going to be good for you. So there's obviously consequences to not bathing, right? Most people will probably like, ooh, can you stand over there, right? Brushing your teeth too. The people don't want to talk real close to you. Your breath gets pretty rough. So the same thing as you have habits also of life, like and temptations that the devil brings to you, inappropriate thoughts or attitudes. Oh, he loves to work on attitudes, right? Oh, they were so mean to me, or they did you see what they did and what they said? And it's so hard because your flesh is just like, right? You just want to tell them. I have, it's not a church person, but I have a person right now that's just being a real thorn in my side, and I just want to tell them. And I can't. I can't. I got to be keeping it in subjection, right? And I got to show love. That's what my husband says. Just show love. And I'm trying. The struggle. It's a struggle. But I have to be very intentional and then diligent. So if it's something that's going to trip you up, you stay away from it, right? Like, I love chocolate, and I can't stay away from it. And so if I am trying to be healthy and be good, I don't buy a great big 3-tiered chocolate cake and set it on my counter just to see if I could stay away from it. That would be really dumb because I would not be able to stay away from it. I would be like, well, let me just smell it. Well, let me just lick the icing. And next thing I know, I'd have had the whole cake gone. So if I can't do it, I just don't buy it, right? So nobody else gets it either. If there's certain music, and it has been proven, I think we've done studies on Friday nights and Saturday nights about music, the certain musics affect your mood, right? Like if you're sad, you're not really in the mood to hear this like super jivey song. It kind of gets on your nerves, right? And if you're in this happy mood, you don't want to hear this song about how everybody's lost everything and they're so hardworking. You're like, oh, next, right? So it affects your mood. Well, then if you start struggling, maybe some of those ones too, they have some that's just got some words. Ooh. You start listening to some songs and you're like, oh my word, what is that? And they start saying all kinds of bad words in them. And so if you start that and it starts to become, and maybe it affects you. Some people can really like bother them, like the rap or the rock or the, you know, all that trash that they talk about. Don't turn your radio on those stations if that's your problem. Just stay away from it. If you're addicted to video games and you have like a bazillion papers due tomorrow for school, you don't turn on the video game console, right? Not just one game, right? 3 hours later, you're like, oh, it's going to be a late night because I did not do any of my homework. So you just don't even turn it on. You just stay away from it. If you struggle with something deeper, be diligent. Don't feed your temptation. Not a nibble, not a smell, not a lick from the cake, right? Just stay away from it completely. Be diligent. Because why try to test yourself and just to find out you can't leave it alone and then you're going to be really disappointed and make your way so much harder. People aren't successful without being diligent. So keep on keeping on. You've got to work hard. One that's going to endure, those are the ones that you're going to see successful. The people that are very successful in businesses, the CEOs, the big owners of companies. And like we've seen, Chris and I have seen several people, well, you know, you see it all on social media platforms now, in their 20s, like their late 20s, 27, 28, and they're owners of like these great big businesses. And you're like, what did I do wrong, right? Goodness. And they were earnest. They had a goal and they worked at it and they got there. Now some might just be lucky. I don't know. Maybe some were born into wealth or was a TikToker. I don't know. But you got to be diligent in most cases. Some of that's going to fall through. You'll lose your popularity, maybe. So whatever you do, whether you're growing a garden, whether it's exercise, or maybe bodybuilding, or losing weight, sports, learning a language. I never conquered that, but that's very hard. It's going to take consistent diligence to achieve it. If you just throw in the towel after, like, you know, week one, you're not going to achieve it, right? You might learn a few words, enough to maybe get you in trouble. You're not going to reach your goal or see results. So if you're like a runner, like when you're going to run a race, and you think, oh, I'll run Monday and Friday for this big race next week. I don't want to do it every day. That's just way too much. Well, you're going to get right next to the person who was running like hours a day, and then you're going to be mad. Well, why did they win? You weren't diligent. You didn't even put forth hardly any effort. So you're not going to see the results you want. So being diligent is also like giving your all, giving your absolute best. So I know it's hard to give your all and your best 100% of the time, but sometimes you're just tired. You're just tired, right? You're tired. You got a lot of things going on. Sometimes you got multiple projects going on. So you're kind of like, okay, I really need to give 100% to this project, but I have this exam tomorrow, right? And so it's hard to give 100% to everything. But if you want to see results, if it's something you're really going to be interested in seeing results, you're going to want to do it to give 100%. And so I just encourage you to think about that spiritually. When you're thinking about where you want to be with your goals spiritually, obviously our goal is heaven, hopefully. I would hope everybody's goal in here is heaven. But besides that, you know, set some small goals, achievable ones, you know. By next year, I want to be, you know, here spiritually. I want to be doing this. I want to be maybe reaching out to people more. I want to be, you know, maybe trying to invite someone. You know, that's, I really get stuck on that. I try to witness, and then I'm like, oh, maybe they don't want to know. Maybe they don't want to come. Maybe they'll get upset. And it gets, you know, it gets nerve-wracking. So maybe, you know, maybe that's a goal. Okay, help me to be able to invite one person, just one, you know. And then they tell you no. But don't get discouraged. Because I think it was Sister Becky said in Sunday school, you think the statistic is you can invite 100 people, and the statistic is one will come. That's not good, because I have not invited 100 people. So don't get discouraged. Still be that light. Still try to be diligent, but set small goals for yourself spiritually of what you want to do and what you want to be. Maybe you have struggle testifying because you're really nervous and you're really quiet and backward. Maybe set a goal. Okay, by this time next year, I want to at least be able to get up and testify. Or I want to not faint when the Sherlockies ask me to like lead singing, or, you know. Because we have ones that are getting older. We have ones that are getting married. So as they step off, everybody's what? Stepping up, right? And we can't just leave it to two or three people. We're a whole youth group. And then we're going to have ones coming in throughout the year that's going to turn 13. So if you're 13 now, you will no longer be the new kid on the block. So now you've got to move up and be an example and get involved and do something, right? We have the Senior Saints. We have projects going on. We have a youth revival that's going to need lots of stepping up for. And Sister Sharon and I can't carry that load by ourselves. So just think about and pray about what God wants you to do and what your goals should be. I mean, even like keep a journal maybe and set some goals and kind of just see what goals God would want you to set for yourself as well.